TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me just a moment is John Ramos. You know, tomorrow in Israel, they're going to have the election for the prime minister. In America, we have the president who leads our country. In Israel, they have the prime minister. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, which you've actually seen his speech, we've had his whole speech here just recently at the U.S. Congress, has the only one that's been prime minister longer than him is Ben-Gurion, which is the first one. It was the very first prime minister there, which is, if he's good, you know, leave him there. But you have, it seems that there is a whole world, as we always are seeing, coming against Israel. I mean, think about it. Israel's being surrounded at every side by the adversaries. Iran is discussing nuclear weapons, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told us just a couple days ago at the U.S. Congress. He also explained to us that, hey, it's not just for Israel, that these Scuds, these missiles, America's for you too. So if Iran gets these nuclear weapons, this can, you know, affect us. So when you think about this election going on in Israel right now, tomorrow, that it will affect the world, how it turns out. You think about that and think about this. What is the heart of God here? This is the heart of God. The heart of God is for us to stand for Israel, to stand up for the people, that God's choice of leadership. And if we look at what's going on, where the world is involved in Israel's politics and they're supporting all these other candidates, it's like, what are you doing in our country? You know, why are you having, you know, why are you coming in here? I mean, you think about it. If all of a sudden your family was going to decide what you're going to have for dinner, right? And, you know, you have like, you know, five people in your family, and some stranger comes in and starts saying, you know, I think you ought to have fried chicken tonight, right? You're going to say, who are you? You know, you're not part of the family. Or if they start paying off one of the members of the family who wanted pizza and say, tell them we want fried chicken. I mean, you're thinking, they're not part of the family. What are you even doing here? But when it comes to Israel, so many people start thinking like, you know, what's the big deal? The big deal is that they're not part of Israel. They shouldn't be involved in those elections. So we need to pray, because their plans, based on what we're seeing by their fruit, Jesus said, you know them by the fruit. Their outcome for Israel is not good. You hear the goal of what's going on. They have a desire to harm Israel. And what we want, you know, is God's choice of leadership over Israel. We want Israel protected. We want the Jewish people to be protected. You know, we stand up for God and country in that order with VFN TV and for Israel. We're friends with Israel, and God's heart is for us to be friends. And in the very end, at the very end of all times, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, God's going to gather all the nations. And you know what he's going to judge us on? You know, what we did to Israel's land and what we did to the Jews. Think about it. Whose side are you on? This is not a political thing. This is a God thing. As a matter of fact, think about this. The reports are, from some reports coming out of Israel, that the people, the Jewish people, or the people in Israel, they don't make up their mind for who they're going to vote for in the up to the last 48 hours. In other words, the last 48 hours, which is between today and tomorrow, they're going to decide on who is going to be the prime minister of Israel. And I'm asking you, as a matter of fact, I'm asking you, begin to pray for Israel, pray for the elections, pray for God's choice of person over this land. And to, from the outside looking in, and it's, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been the man of the hour and has stood before the whole world standing up defending the cause of Israel. And by the way, defending the cause of America and the American Constitution. Look at this from CBN News.
In an election that features 26 parties, even the pollsters are confused.
If you will ask you who's going to be the next prime minister, I'm going to tell you I don't know.
We do know that the next prime minister is likely to be Benjamin Netanyahu or Labour Party leader Isaac Herzog. Either man could be asked to form a government after next Tuesday. In recent elections, a whopping one-third of voters decided in the last 48 hours. 18% say they're undecided this year.
Netanyahu is now Israel's second longest serving prime minister. If he wins another term, he would almost pass Israel's founder and national icon David Ben-Gurion. And that's just one of the reasons his political enemies, both here and around the world, are desperate to stop him.
Last weekend in Tel Aviv, tens of thousands of Israeli leftists gathered for an Anyone But Bibi rally. Strengthened by strong financial support from overseas and the blessing of Israeli and foreign media, some of Netanyahu's opponents call him a bigger danger to the world than Iran. They accuse him of poisoning the relationship with the United States and hurting Israel's economy. David Parsons of the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem has closely followed the past eight national elections.
There's been this attempt to create things are collapsing with Bibi in office, this impression that the country's falling apart and we got to get rid of him.
Still, with some polls showing Netanyahu's Likud party trailing, nearly every poll shows voters prefer him as prime minister to Herzog, who heads a coalition of the left. Rafi Smith says that because Israelis don't have hope for an Arab peace partner, they've turned inward to look at issues like the high cost of food and housing.
There's total distrust with the Arabs here. Okay, the Arab factor, everybody sees everybody around us. They don't like us. We have no partner. We have nothing to go, no one to talk to. So let's go inside to more internal problems.
In the closing days, though, voters may return to security concerns. Even most of Netanyahu's opponents don't refute the threat to Israel's existence posed by Iran and radical jihadists. Parsons says it's a critical time for Christians everywhere to pray for Israel.
We can pray, Lord, let your man rise to power in here, the one that you want to lead Israel over coming years, because this is a very momentous time, especially with the Iranian nuclear threat looming. We need Christians all over the world praying for this nation.
John Waggy, CBN News, Jerusalem.
So you're looking at right here what the reports are is they realize that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the one that's going to keep our national security there. They're going to take care of it. They realize that. But they're deciding also on internal things happening inside of Israel. But it's like if you don't worry about your skin, it doesn't matter what's going to happen to your organs. I mean, you're going to have protection. We're seeing that happen in America. It's like, who's watching our borders? Who's watching over our country? And all of a sudden, we had this huge influx of millions of folks, it looks like, but reportedly were 500,000, according to Kamal Saleem, a radical jihadist came over our southern border with Qum Ministries. He was telling us about this. And when you look at this, and we're going to break this down after this break, but realize this, that when Israel responds, and that's what he was telling us when he came to the Congress, he says, we got to stand alone, we're going to stand alone. We're going to deal with this nuclear threat that's trying to threat to take away our country, destroy Israel. Well, to take him out of office and say, okay, then just go ahead and have this nuclear threat and push us into the sea. I mean, I don't think Israel's going to do that. And so you're looking at, and by the way, I believe it was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu who called this election. I mean, you can just call the election, like, just have one. Because he wanted to get everybody an agreement moving in one direction so that Israel can stand. And by the way, Israel's going to stand. God's going to protect Israel. The question is, where are we going to stand when it comes to Israel? And the heart of God is this. God, this is what God says, his word says. He says it in Ezekiel. He says that he looks for a man amongst them to stand in the gap so he doesn't have to destroy the land. When you think about, with Abraham, and Abraham, he knew he had the heart of God in regards to this, because when God was going to start dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah, God looked for a man, Abraham, and Abraham began to stand in the gap. When you look at this whole remnant people called the Moravian people, if it wasn't for these Moravians we're going to talk about today, they stood in the gap, and some of the fruit, it's all over the world what they did. And America is part of that fruit. It makes a difference. I want to encourage you. We're going to break, but I want to just now write this down and say, you know what? This is not just going to be a broadcast. I'm going to pray for Israel. I'm going to intercede. I want to be a part of standing for Israel. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You Young girls often are naturally interested in fashion, but there are some dangers. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. You know, in a culture that markets to girls with messages of beauty and perfection, Dana Gresh has some words of caution.
The research really indicates that young girls who are exposed to fashion products too soon, who are overconsumed with their body and beauty image, that they're more at risk of eating disorders, depression, and an early sexual debut in their teen years. And then when they're young adult women and they're in that first few years of their marriage relationship, that they have so many scars on their heart and so many body image issues that they can't enjoy the gift that God has given to them.
You'll find tips for good conversations with your tween daughter at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, this is crucial time when you think about it. You know, and you don't ever want to assume that things are always going to be the way they are. I mean, they always change. Things change. I don't care if somebody's the best person there ever was in the history of all mankind, he or she's going to die. I mean, it's appointed once to die, then the judgment. Our hope is always God. The question for us before we die, are we going to make decisions in regards to eternal decisions? Like, did we stand for God in that season? And Israel is that measuring stick for us. Not, you know, God's handling Israel. The question is, where are we standing with Israel? Mm-hmm. Where are we standing with Israel? And you know, there's so many things being taught in the church today, but very few things are being taught about Israel and understanding our role with Israel. And what does Romans chapter 11 really mean? I mean, are they grafted into us? Are we grafted into, oh my goodness, we're grafted into them. I mean, it's a shocker for people to find out that, you know.
It didn't start with us?
You think about Hebrews chapter 11, right? Mm-hmm. You talk about, I mean, it's been taught on the faith movement and everything, which faith in God is wonderful. But it shocks Christians to find out that, I don't know if you ever noticed or not, but there are no Christians in Hebrews 11. Those are all Jews. Mm-hmm. Those are all Jews under the old covenant. And they're people of faith that they're writing about. I mean, think about that. You know, some people are reading that are going like, yeah, they're thinking about, you know, since, you know, the terrible things that have happened to the church, you know, over the years. But prior to the church, it was, David was here, you know, before. He's talking, he ruled by faith and these different things going on. It's like we got grafted into Israel. We got grafted into what God is doing there. You know, God is we're going to get into those details right now, but God has not replaced Israel. As you can tell today, it's the synergy of the entire creation right now, and it's the apple of God's eye. And if you get a godly perspective and you pull way back and you look on what's going on, that, you know, the eyes of the Jews were blinded so that others, the Gentile, can come to know the Lord. And as they do, then the Jew becomes jealous for the Messiah, and then they start accepting, and many Jews, obviously the first disciples, the first church and everything. Mm-hmm. He's first the Jew, then the Gentile. And so our responsibility is to love Israel, to be there for Israel, to bless Israel, to stand in the gap for Israel, to think that you can have a separate identity. Mm. I mean, the whole purpose of based on scripture was, you know, we have the goodness of God, you know, he's made us his own. We have the fullness, the blessings of Abraham is ours. But we're called to live rightly before the Lord in such a way to see the relationship between the Messiah and us, where Israel starts to say, like the head of the Jewish Congress said, you know, recently we had him on VFN TV, where he said, you know, for years we saw, you know, that the Christians have stood there for us when we were persecuted. Now we see the Christians are being persecuted. We, as the Jewish Congress, are going to stand there for you. And Jesus said this. He said, you know, you won't even see me again talking to Israel until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus said what? In my name, go in my name. In my name, you will drive out demons. In my name, you will advance my kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Father, I gave them the name. It's the name of Jesus. So when you hear the words of the Lord, when he's saying, you will not, Israel, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of Yahshua, Messiah, Jesus. That's the church. I mean, this is our moment. This is our time. And if anything we should be doing right now is praying for and tangibly supporting Israel.
Mm.
We should be supporting Israel. I mean, with everything inside of us. And there are some Americans that are going over and joining the IDF, Israeli Defense Force. And
that's beautiful. There's a whole organization called Volunteer for Israel where Americans are leaving. And they're actually going to support the military in all kinds of different ways. Things they can package for them, prepare meals for them. It's a beautiful organization.
Well, make sure we put that on the screen for others to get in contact with that organization. But, you know, whatever you can do, I mean, believe me, you know, help is help.
Yeah.
There's approximately 12 million Jews on the face of the earth. There's only 6 million, I believe, around that in Israel. But think about it, only 12 million. That's in the whole earth out of, you know, well, how many billions of
folks? 7 billion.
7 billion folks. 12 million. And God is speaking to us through that. Hmm. And we need to go find the Jewish people, and we need to bless them and stand for them and not to let all persecution to happen. And understand by doing so, they're seeing the love of God. They're seeing the fulfillment of Scripture. They're seeing the Torah being fulfilled. They're seeing all these things. And so right now, if you've been listening and watching VFN TV, you know there's a whole outright strategy. They are trying to pour luciferic acid, it's called furic acid or something. You mix those two words together, luciferic acid. They're just pouring it over the whole earth right now, using Alinsky's tactics, rules for radicals, to be able to organize. I mean, our own president said the Middle East needs to be organized.
Mm.
And then the big issues going on there for years is obviously Satan stirring things up, but it's manifesting through an expression of Sunni and Shiite type beliefs in Islam. And they're basically pairing those two off against each other. When you see ISIS, you know, you're basically seeing Sunni, I believe. And then when you see Iran, it could be the opposite. You know, Iran is the opposite of that, which could be the Shiites, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're saying Iran's coming to defeat ISIS. Well, they're actually coming to defeat their counterpart. You know,
yeah.
So you're like the Sunni and the Shiites. And if you look at Rules for Radicals and you look at what we learned through that, what God taught us through that, and listen to the series, you're looking at people trying to organize. They're trying to resolve things through human wisdom, human philosophies versus God. And in this, they're partnering with people that are against Israel, that's against Christians. They just beheaded 21 Christians in Libya, and they were called Egyptian citizens, not Christians.
Mm.
A few days after our president said, let's not get on our high horse, remember the Crusaders? And then right on the film, right after they decapitated these Christian men, that they said on the video, we just killed Crusaders. That message is resonating, and it's like, you know, what are we doing? It's like, it's against Christians and Jews, this whole strategy. It's all JJ. I talk about that over and over again, but, you know, where do the Jews and Jesus, where does the Jews and the church stand in this? Not the church, just because somebody calls himself the church, it's not the church. I mean,
right.
Look at Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, many people are going to say they know me, but they don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at even in Revelation, he said, some people who call themselves a Jew are not even a Jew. But there are the Jews, and there are Christians. And this church is partnering with, this reported church is partnering with Putin right now. And, you know, taking over Ukraine. And
isn't that wild?
Yeah. And it's just the rise of the, some sort of Roman-type empire over there. But that's exactly, by the way, what Hitler did.
Yeah.
Hitler, you know, he went and merged himself with the church of the day, which was a governmental-type church.
Mm-hmm.
And this is common, by the way. I think the biggest collector who collects the tithe in Germany is the German government, I believe. And so the church is partnered with, and they get like the excommunication. It's crazy. We had a whole segment on that. But anytime government and the church, anytime government and religion gets together, it never turns out good.
Mm-mm.
Because you have one kingdom, the kingdom of God, right? And the kingdom of God is within us. But then you have the kingdom of men. You know, you merge those two together, then you start finding out they contend against each other. And history shows eventually they leave the kingdom of God and they start working out their own, you know, crusaders.
Yeah.
And all kinds of things begin to happen. But you're looking at Islam, a caliphate, radical Islam. And, You know, you hear reports is what they want. They want a government.
It's a geographical kingdom.
A geographical kingdom. You know, Kamal Saleem, you know, and others say, and with Coup Ministries, but others say as well that it's like 80%, 90% political, which means it's governmental. It's an earthly kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And our kingdom is not earthly. As a church, it's not earthly. That's why it doesn't matter in the context of what, I mean, Jesus said, listen, when people start telling you the kingdom of God's out there or over here, he says, don't even listen to them. That's not true, because the kingdom of God is within you. So every time men try to establish their kingdom here on earth in regard to their kingdom, not God's kingdom coming to earth, then trouble happens. And I remember talking with Yulong from China and Hong Kong. His parents retired from working for the government in China. And he was giving me a perspective that I just didn't think about before. But because the Catholic Church had established a physical kingdom, and they have their, the potentate and the papacy and all this stuff.
Property.
Well, the government. You know, of course, the history of the Catholic Church was crusaders and those different things. And they just, in just your recent lifetime, they just accepted Israel as a nation. It wasn't long ago. It was Pope John Paul, I believe, that done that. And so he's saying Yulong is going, well, the concern in China is they don't want another kingdom coming in here. So we do an injustice to the kingdom of God when we start trying to establish things and stuff and start pointing to it. And that kind of order versus like the kingdom of God is within us. And if we have shelter, if we have a building, if we have some order, we don't focus on that. We don't worship Gideon's ephod. We worship the God of Gideon, you know what I'm saying? And so they're thinking, and they're right, you know, if the Catholic Church comes in here, you know, they're thinking, isn't there a papacy? Isn't there some government over here? That's mm-hmm. where like America come in and establish things right around here. And now we got to compete with that mindset. It's like, but think about this. I mean, how many other Christians have developed some form of established physical government here on earth, and they're thinking like you're trying to take over,
mm-hmm.
versus saying no, we're actually trying to win you. We want you,
right?
And the way we win is from inside out. We go after a man, letting him know that God loves him. God has a plan. We introduce them to the kingdom of God, that the Lord works with us, confirming His word, and then it's that man's choice whether he's a king or whether he is a peasant. He still decides, do I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? That's as far as we can go.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus just moves on from there. He didn't go like, I'm real concerned about the politics in that particular city, because they were trying to get him to stay.
Yeah.
You know?
He also said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God. Let's keep it moving here.
Yeah, out of the fish's mouth. And that's what we got to do. It's time for us to get busy. Then we'll have that in a future program. But what is the heart of God in this? I mean, the heart of God is for us to stand with Israel, to intercede. And what I think about, the Moravian folks, the Moravian people. And I want you first see this little short segment here about the Moravian people. It's 318. A 319. Let's watch this 319, and we will be right back. You got to see this.
Two young Moravians heard of an island in the West Indies where an atheist British owner had 2,000 to 3,000 slaves. And the owner had said, no preacher, no clergyman will ever stay on this island. If he's shipwrecked, we'll keep him in a separate house until he has to leave. But he's never going to talk to any of us about God. I'm through with all that nonsense. 3,000 slaves from the jungles of Africa brought to an island in the Atlantic. And there to live and die without hearing of Christ. Two young Moravians heard about it. They sold themselves to the British planter and used the money they received from the sale, for he paid no more than he would for any slave, to pay their passage out to his island, for he wouldn't even transport them. And as the ship left the river at Hamburg, left its pier in the river at Hamburg, and was going out into the North Sea carried with the tide, the Moravians had come from Herrnhut to see these two lads off in their early 20s, never to return again, for this wasn't a four-year term. They'd sold themselves into lifetime slavery, simply that as slaves they could be as Christians, where these others were. The families were there weeping, for they knew they'd never see them again. And they wondered why they were going and questioned the wisdom of it. And as the gap widened and the houses had been cast off and were being curled up there on the pier, and the young boys saw the widening gap, one lad with his arm linked through the arm of his fellow raised his hand and shouted across the gap the last words that were heard from them. They were these. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And this became the core of Moravian Mission. And this is the only reason for being, that the lamb that was slain may receive the reward of his suffering.
That's our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That is our whole purpose. That's what we're called to live for. Paul said, I would give my own salvation. That's what he said. That's for the Jews to be saved. I mean, think about that. For his brothers to be saved. And right now, we can't even get folks to stand up and just pray for the nation of Israel to be saved. We got people partnering with people who are trying to destroy Israel, who want to push them into the sea, and they're jesting about it. And Paul was letting us know. I mean, read Romans chapter 11. Understand, he said, if you get prideful, if you get boastful, do you think if God didn't spare the natural branches, he's not going to spare you? That's what he said. He said, if the first ones got removed, the original ones got removed, you can get removed too. But he said, if they got removed and you got planted in, can they not be grafted back in again? This whole thing is about God telling his awesome love and kindness and mercy. This is not political at all. This is not about Islam or Buddhism or some political party or Alinsky or Rules for Radicals. This is about a loving God taking this all to the point to bring back what Paul prayed would happen. Can we actually get back to Israel? I mean, he tried to get back to Israel to the Lord. Finally said, listen, I'm calling you to the Gentiles. And he's like, but I want them to be saved. And how that's going to happen, Paul's wishes are going to come to pass when we wake up and realize we're supposed to be the Gentiles getting saved to be able to come back and bless Israel and pray for Israel and watch God's full circle take place. And let me tell you, we are so close to that day. We were so close to that day. I mean, think about all the nations that are surrounding Israel right now. Think about it. It's like, what have we been focusing on? I mean, think about it. If the Moravian people, their first two missionaries they sent out, and we're going to have a little bit more about them afterwards, they sent out, they said, listen, we're going to sell ourselves into slavery so that we can get there to them and live as a Christian in their presence so that we can win them. And we can't even send missionaries down the street. You know what I'm saying? We have to begin to wake up, and now's the time to begin to stand for Israel, pray for them. The elections is tomorrow, and one way you can begin to reach out, like Romans chapter 11, begin to reach out and say, dear God, I didn't realize that. Now I realize that. I pray for the protection and the peace of Israel. Dear Lord, give Israel the leader that you want that will protect Israel. But we ask this in Jesus' name. More we get back from the break.
The conversation light. Follow us online at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bringing some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just
You see them. You go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yes, we are days, moments, hours away now from Israel making a decision that, you know, reports are that most people in Israel realize that to have Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as the prime minister means we're going to be protected from all these things, these you know, threats to them as a nation, as a people. And there's 40 candidates, reports are, 40 candidates reported by CBN running for prime minister. And they're saying people from around the world are getting involved in their elections. And so what, there's so much trouble going on in Israel right now that the people, they're concerned is they don't know whether to be focused on the inward problem or the outward problem. Guess what? This is America's future problem, and it's coming to us soon. Yeah, are we going to forget about our Constitution? Are we going to forget about our national security? Are we going to forget about our national interests and say, you know, put this person in office because they'll make sure we get schools and jobs and stuff, and we'll just give up our whole nation because to not vote for someone in Israel that, you know, whoever that is, I don't know who they're going to, God's man to be there, God's person, is the fact that if you're not thinking national security, it doesn't matter what happens inside your nation because you're not going to have one.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so the reports are, according to CBN News, is that they're aware to keep our current prime minister means our nation's going to be safe, but they're having all these inner struggles. Guess what? You know, Rules for Radicals talks about stir up so much trouble on the inside that they forget about the outside. I mean, that's the whole tactics that are going on. And so, you know, what is standing in the gap? How significant is standing in the gap? When I think about the Moravian people, they were basically a remnant of, you know, God's folks, 24 of them, and they were rejected, you know, by the religion. The best thing that could ever happen to you is be rejected by religious captives who, you know, have fallen into the kingdoms of this world and are no longer walking in the kingdom of God. You know, because then, you know, it's not as confusing for you anymore. You know, you can read theology, you read the Bible, and you go, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Without a ruler.
Without a ruler. And so, you know, with that, you got 24 people that just came together. Zinzendorf allowed them to be on their property, but they're basically on some, you know, like Israel was sitting in Goshen, just on somebody else's land. But these 24 people, you know, changed the world as we know it. They began to stand in the gap, and they affected the globe. They affected the globe. Matter of fact, take a look at this right here, 318.
It began in 1727. A band of refugees united together to pray. Led by a German nobleman who preached a heart religion in contrast to the cold and intellectual emphasis of his day. 24 men and 24 women determined that the flame of prayer should burn at the heart of their community. They divided themselves to pray in succession around the clock. It lasted for 100 years. The Moravian Prayer Meeting propelled over 3,000 missionaries to the ends of the earth, some even selling themselves into slavery. They went with one anthem: may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering.
You think about that. You know, the big question is, you know, about standing in the gap. So often, because of our struggle with ourselves, is, am I willing to stand in the gap for others? Because a lot of people, you know, our struggle is thinking that, you know, I want to stand in the gap for America, for the church in America, so I have a better job, so I have a better community, so I have a better nation, versus, you know, to be able to live, to be able to pass to the next generation, you know, and I guess the big thing is this: standing in the gap is, are we willing, do we want to stand in the gap for the will of God, which could take, you know, one or two generations, like the Moravians? Or are we going to stand in the gap for only our generation? In other words, I want to see that fruit in this generation. I'm not willing to do the work of what takes place. And what I think about, you know, Dutch Sheets when he talks about that. John, talk to us about, you know, Dutch we had on the program.
When we had Dutch Sheets, he talked about an appeal to heaven and about the evergreen tree.
Remember, you're probably seeing the flag right now. This is the flag.
Right, and this is an agreement that was made with the Indians and some of the first settlers. And my understanding about the evergreen trees, it takes 100 years to actually grow to its fruition. I mean, it doesn't just happen overnight.
It doesn't happen. It, all of a sudden, yeah, it got to be.
So whoever plants one doesn't even really expect to see it in their generation. They're really planting that tree for the next.
And if
generation.
You do, you got to need glasses. And you got to feel like Braille or something.
Right.
Like your eyes are
right.
Going out by
right.
That.
So the significance is that, are we willing to continue to invest everything we have for God, pray, walk the things out?
But
the
John,
the
problem with that, it just seems selfless.
Imagine that. Isn't that the idea?
But we're not being taught that. We're not.
No.
There's no. We're actually. Is that? That's almost like taught as something not of God.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are being taught is, you pray about, you live for, and you the scriptures that you find are things that give you stuff and it
sure.
makes your life
immediately.
Better.
To confirm how religious you are, how close you are with God, because obviously he heard your prayer and there it is, it manifested.
Why the next generation has no shade because there are no trees.
No.
And the Moravians, you think they prayed for 100 years. I mean, 100 years, you know, we were walking out ourselves, a prayer community, and we're working on one day. I mean, we've been, how long has it been?
5 years.
5 years. And we've, you know, grown off the wisdom of that from International House of Prayer, Mike Bickle in Kansas City. And it's like, I mean, it's an amazing thing. And without that, you know, we wouldn't even be here because this birth, BFN TV birth on a prayer watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were on a prayer watch. And God just spoke to me plain as day. And the one thing he's telling me, he says, there's a people and you got to get to them, because there's a lot of religious people, but there's a people like the Moravians who want God, who understand that you just lay down your life, that you're just living for that cause. To be a missionary today, people just like, they make it like big shots. It's like, no, we're all supposed to be missionaries.
Right.
We're just all supposed to be doing this. It's not, the whole family's supposed to be doing this.
That's right.
You know, people, you know, it's like, this is the man of the cloth. And I was like, that's Tarzan. First of all, hopefully we're all clothed.
Yeah.
And we all have cloths.
Yeah. Everyone's if you're a believer, everyone's a minister, because the highest form of a minister is a servant. He serves others.
So if you want to be the greatest person, then he says to be the servant of all.
That's right.
You think about that. And so, you know, what I look at is I look at Abraham, the father of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham heard the Lord, and he just responded to what God said. And God just said, get up and go, and I'll show you. And he went. That was a 25-year journey. And God began to just, you know, show himself to Abraham. It was an amazing thing, because God taught him. The Word of God says that the angels have come down to be able to look at the cities, two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels talk about, hey, you know, we've taught him. We should tell them what's going on. Isn't that amazing? And one of the verses talking about, you know, we've already, you know, he's already been taught about this. We probably should let him know why we're here, you know. And so they tell him, say, listen, there's this city. It's God's getting word of the city that it's had a lot of sins. By the way, there's more than one sin going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was gluttony and greed and idolatry and just narcissism and every kind of sexual sin you can imagine. It was just total fleshed out, you know? And the word was that it's so full, it's just got to destroy it. And so they were going to go check it out. And so they share with Abraham, hey, this is the report. This is the report. We're going to go check it out. Just wanted you to know this. And God will often do this. And right now you're looking at America. You're looking at Iraq. You're looking at, when you think about Iraq, this northern city called Mosul, that city is Nineveh, by the way. That's Nineveh. And God sent Jonah to Nineveh. So when you hear Mosul, think about this. ISIS headquarters is in Nineveh. And Jonah was a lot like a lot of folks today. They're saying, like, you know, they don't, you know, they just destroy that city, you know. And God's going, no, I love the Arab people in Mosul. I love Miriam, who's in that camp for 4 months. I love the people there. Mm. And Jonah's going, it's ISIS. You know, they don't deserve them. They're saying, I mean, you think about it, it's an argument, it's today's argument. And he was running from God. He's going like, I don't want to go preach the gospel to them. You know, gospel. I don't want to go tell them about your goodness that you want to forgive them. I don't want them forgiven. And that's what he was saying. I don't want them forgiven. This is the story about Jonah and the well. Hello. And that's Nineveh. Mosul is Nineveh, the headquarters of ISIS. And the city was so bad. Nineveh was so bad at that time that God was going to totally destroy it. So it is as bad as it is now, or way worse, maybe. I don't know, because God hadn't destroyed the city yet. And the prince of Nineveh has been killed, by the way, in this last month or so. That should be a huge sound to all of us to realize. Right. And Jonah just had an attitude. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And finally, it came to a point when he got on this ship and he was taken off saying, you know, I've got this job now. I forgot about that call on my life. You know, and I'm busy making money, doing my thing and all this kind of stuff. He's on this boat and the storm gets so bad. It gets so bad that the people who didn't want to do this, they did not want, it wasn't in them to take the church out of America and make the church preach to America. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't in them to take Jonah and throw them out of the boat, because Jonah said, that's me. You know, I didn't stand for Israel. I didn't walk before God. It's not you. Because he told me, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God would heal America. But I didn't turn, you know. And it's like, throw me out of the country, you know, throw me off the boat. And it wasn't in them to do it. But finally, it got so bad that God says, you know, God touched these guys on these boats and says, like, chunk them. And they threw the church in the water. They threw the answer in the water. They threw the Jewish minister in the storm, threw him right in the middle of the storm. And I'm sure he's probably like splashing around going like, ah, as long as I'm not in Nineveh, I'm fine with that. It's crazy. They're cutting off heads. It's crazy over there right now. And then a well swallows him. And while he was in the belly of all the consequences of the storm that was raised up, guess what? He says, you know, I was thinking about going to Mosul and telling them that God loves you and God's got a plan for you. I want to go to Nineveh. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And God, this well just goes, spits him out on the beach or whatever. And he goes to Nineveh. He preaches it. God extends the time for the judgment that was coming to Nineveh, to Mosul, if you would. And so he could get and cover the whole city and preach to them. This is how God works. You got to tell people about God. You got to tell them that he loves them. And they all heard. This evil city, bent for destruction, all heard, and when they all heard, they repented. God relented. He said, never mind, I'm not going to destroy this city. And they lived a righteous city, a right city for 40 years. Nineveh, Mosul did that. Listen, church, do we want them to throw us out of this nation into the storm so we'll wake up and do what we're supposed to do, or do we want to just do it right now, right?
That's right.
We're all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. More when we get back from the break.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We were able to have Pat interpretate. Did you hear that?
Okay.
He interpreted it.
Okay.
He interpreted Fonzie and Potsy.
And you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I'm Googling interpretate, but I'm trying to find it. And like Google knows, it seems to know everything, but somewhere interpretate's not coming
interpretate.
Up. Interpretate. I'm spelling it right.
Are you spelling it right?
But it keeps on trying to correct it like it's not a word or something.
Oh,
that's like a squiggly line underneath it. Interpretate. That's amazing, isn't it?
Interpretate.
Interpret.
I can write that.
Interpretate. You know, maybe our listeners can help us out with that. But I'm just glad he interpreted it.
I'm glad too.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So think about that. You know, we're just talking about, you know, God was so in love with Mosul, which was Nineveh. I mean, he was upset with them. He's going to bring, you know, destroy the city, but he wanted to give them a chance. We totally underestimate the mercies of God. He's so good. And when we heard Miriam the other day, and I wish we had that thing. We're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. You got to see her talk. But her viewpoint is amazing. Life is just too good for the American church. It's just too good. Mm. It's just too good. It's just too good. We don't even understand that it's good. And think about this. Begin to believe God for this, because being in America, we're the wealthiest nation in the world.
In the world.
Begin to say, God, you know, when you tell us the golden rule is to, you know, love others as we love ourselves, right? So if you buy yourself a cup of coffee, buy someone else a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you buy yourself a dress, buy somebody else a dress. Don't, you know, buy your dress new and then give somebody else the old dress. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do that too, but you see, but you're going to love them the way you love yourself, you would actually get them a dress too.
Mm-hmm.
Or better than that, think about this. Begin to believe God. Say, God, everything you give me, I want to begin to live my life and believe that you're going to give me enough where I can give away 50% of what you give me. I'm not going to break it down to a dress, a pencil, or a piece of food. I'm at 50% of my increase that I just want to sow it in the lives of others for the sake of Christ and his kingdom.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. I mean, why? Think you give, God's going to give it to you. I mean, it's just what happens. But begin to live life like that. But the crazy thing is the opposite's happening. It's like the more people get, the less they give. I mean, you look at some of the people that were running for political office, and they're you know.
Well, it's June stats. I mean, George Barna reports that the higher income that people make, $70,000 and above, they tithe 2% of their income. But people, right. It's like,
yeah, you give me $1 million, then I'm gonna be faithful. God's going, hey, yeah, right. Just handle the $5 right now.
That's right.
We'll see. And but think about it. So we can begin to love others, and the thing about it is, if we love Nineveh the way God loves Nineveh, we love the people in Mosul the way God loves the people in Mosul. If we look past the storm that the enemy's stirring up and see human beings who just need to hear it. People have not even heard the right viewpoint of Jesus Christ, that God gave his son. They heard about him. So when they hear the name Jesus, they think he's a prophet and he has to repent for calling himself. They talk well of him after he repents for calling himself the son of God. This is Islam. Well, and so when they hear Jesus, they think of that way. They even believe Jesus heals, but they believe he has to repent for calling himself the son of God. Which is the anti-Jesus Christ religion. So when we actually introduce someone to the true gospel, understand their, imagine the response in their life. And we saw just some of that just recently. I mean, God is, it's amazing what the Lord is doing. But so we got to begin to have, you know, I want to give my life. I want to give some of my time. I want to pray for Israel. I don't want to just sit back and watch life like it's a movie. I want to participate. And this is the thing, John. Somebody says, you know, why are you doing this? Well, it's because we want you to respond. You know, it's not for us.
No.
You know, I love Jesus.
We would be doing something else.
Yeah. Although, you know, I love Jesus. I love Israel.
That's right.
And we may be in IDF, or at least I would probably.
Hmm.
Or Pat would. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Pat, yeah. I think it was me and you over there with the IDF? Anyway, but it's so that you would awake. Somebody says, why do you continue to say that? Because we want you to wake up. It may appear like you're watching a movie, but we're authentic people. The BB's authentic person. You know, Miriam, she's 8 years old. We just showed you she's authentic. She's a real human being. The boy that just shot the man in the name of Islam, radical Islam. He was a 7-year-old real human being. The pilot that was burned to death in Jordan, he's a real human being. And it was like, we got to quit having that Jonah mindset, mm-hmm. and we got to get the second Jonah mindset that God. And guess what's going to happen? It wasn't in them to throw Jonah out the boat, but they knew, and everybody knew, if we don't get these people who are not following God out of here, this boat's going down. And so you can get angry at the people that throw us over, or you can repent before God and say, God, I should have had your heart all along. I should have lived my life the way that you said. And that's what I sense right now. You know, America's afloat. There is no oars. There is no ropes tying it to shore.
Yeah.
And, you know, in regards to where it's going right now, it's on the edge. It's on the edge. Only an arrogant man would tell you that America's future is guaranteed. God knows the future of America. And there could be 70 years of some intense struggling. And so, but it's like on the edge of a precipice, on the edge of a cliff. It's not falling. People want to push it. They can't push it because God's not letting them push it. But he's letting us dangle over the edge of this balcony to go, hello, Jonah. This is not about you, Jonah. Jonah was carrying on. It's hot. You know, this all this kind of stuff. It was all about him, you know. And it's like, understand this. See yourself as Jonah because we are Jonah. And there's a whole segment we're going to make available just called We Are Jonah. You're Jonah. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you are a Jonah. And guess what? Your boat's rocking. The whole ship's rocking. America's rocking. But there, at some point, even though it's not in them to do this, God may have them chunk us overboard so that we'll wake up, get done with the belly time of the well, and come back and preach the goodness and the love of God so that our Savior, the Lamb of God, may receive his reward. That's what it's all about. Let's just pray right now for Israel. Those elections are tomorrow.
Yes.
Let's stand in the gap. It makes a difference. Look what 24 Moravians did. Father God, we lift up Israel.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for the peace and protection of Israel. God, we pray for all this confusion and chaos that's been stirred up in Israel by the outsiders outside of Israel, that you would remove that and you bring clarity to people's hearts, clarity to their minds, focus on who you want to be the leader of Israel, Father God. And I pray for the peace and protection and, like Paul, the salvation of the Jews. Father God, we come against and turn on itself every plan that would want to come against Israel, that you would turn it back on them, Father God. And those, Father God, like Miriam and all scattered throughout the Middle East, Father God, we pray for their souls, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive them and you would turn them around like you turn around Nineveh, God. Give us your heart for mankind, Father God, and help us begin to love people the way that we love ourselves, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm maybe no I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something. That was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. This is the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you got to meet God through his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.